Today's scripture is going to come from Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the word of God. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, who he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together in your word, Lord. Bless this time and these words. Help us to understand your instruction. Allow our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Grant us understanding. We pray these things in your name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
You may be seated. It's been a while since I've had the privilege of being up front of the congregation delivering the word, and even longer since I last delivered the message from Joshua. I was looking back at my files and found the date, February 2020. 14 months ago. A lot has changed since then. We have a lot of new visitors here and new members. We have new additions to our families here. We also had some kind of sickness pop up that mess up our lives. Needless to say, some of us may have forgotten or didn't hear where we were at in Joshua. So after a long break, I figured we probably should start off with a bit of a recap of what we had covered previously and where we're at. So, a quick recap. First, Moses has passed away. Joshua is now commissioned to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Early on in Joshua, numerous times, Joshua and the people are commanded to be strong and be of good courage. Their lack of courage and faith in the Lord had led to their time in the wilderness. They sent a spy into Jericho, where they met Rahab. Rahab hides the spies and is honored and is ordered to be saved when Jericho is to be taken. The people are commanded to cross the Jordan River. The waters of the Jordan are miraculously parted, and the people cross over and into the promised land. Memorial stones are placed so that the people and the future generations will always remember what the Lord has done. And now the children of Israel have entered into the promised land. So let's take a look at verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. If the kings knew of the might of the invaders and their God, now was the time to do something. This was the time for repentance, surrender, submission, anything. Who could stand against the God of Israel, the God who parted the waters? Not once, but I'm sure they had heard about the previous, so twice. But instead of doing this, they hid, they gave up, and lost heart. God hardens the heart and softens the heart when he chooses. We can look at these kings and question, why didn't they try and make peace? Why didn't they try anything to save their people? Can we look around at our world and ask those same questions? Why do the people not surrender to the true God? How can they be so confused and not know the right thing to do? Can't they see the evidence and hear our arguments? Don't they have any reason or logic left in their minds? At least, unlike the lost of today, the kings of the Amorites and the kings of the Canaanites, they knew of their pending doom. These people who held the promised land had their hearts melt and their spirit had left them. They had admitted defeat to themselves. Now was the time for the children of Israel to take the land. And then we read verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So now the people of Israel have come into the hostile land, prepared to be strong and courageous, as they've been commanded over and over again. And what is the first thing that they are asked to do as they are prepared to go to war? Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel. Wait, what, Lord? The people are prepared, strong, courageous, and Lord, what is the next step? We have many young men in the congregation with us. Imagine you've just witnessed a miracle. The Lord has parted the waters, and you have entered the promised land. The people who currently occupy with it, what has been promised to you, they're shaken, without hope, fearful of what is to come. They're cowering. Now, I've never been into battle. The best I can compare it to is before I played in a big championship football game. I remember clearly the time leading up to the start of the game. Before the game, everybody's bouncing around, yelling, screaming, banging into each other, pumping each other up, ready to go to war with the other team. Grunts and cheers throughout the locker room, then spills out onto the field. The adrenaline rush is huge. And that's not life-threatening. For those who have been to war, who have lined up across from the enemy, I can't imagine that feeling. But I know it must be intense. These children of Israel are ready to go to battle to conquer their enemies. The Lord is with them, and now the order they are waiting to hear comes. Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel. I'm pretty sure this is not what they are expecting. The enemy is in sight. They are weak, scared, and cowering. The knowledge of men would say in a resounding loud voice, attack! But no, that was not God's plan, and he is in charge. And the children of Israel do what's right, and they obey. We continue reading in Joshua. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. Why were the people not circumcised? One argument is that they didn't have time, so they didn't circumcise. They weren't in one place long enough. They never knew when they were going to have to pick up and move. But a baby boy, circumcised or not, would still have to be carried. There would be no difference, really, in the labor for the people. Some argue that this was an act of neglect. They simply forgot. However, this is hard to believe. It's hard to believe that Moses would have forgotten, or that Joshua would not have remembered, or the differences between the generations would not be noticed. The reason was they were under discipline from the Lord. They were separated from the blessing. The Lord separated those who had been in fear, those from those who would be raised up after. Calvin writes in his commentary on Joshua, "Attention should be paid to the reason here given, namely, that the children of Israel wandered through the desert till the whole of the generation which had refused to follow God was extinct. From this we may, in my opinion, infer that the use of circumcision ceased during the whole of that period as a sign of malediction or rejection. It is true, indeed, that the penalty was inflicted on the innocent, but it was expedient that the fathers should be chastised in their person, as if God were repudiating them for the time to come, when they saw that their offspring differed in no respect from profane persons and strangers, they had a plain demonstration of what they themselves deserved." The sign of circumcision is something that's in constant view and is a reminder to the people. We read from Genesis 17, God's covenant with Abraham. "No longer shall your name," we're picking up verse 5. "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." The uncircumcised were cut off. They had broken the covenant. To not be circumcised, or to know that your sons were not circumcised, was a constant reminder of the failure of your generation, the generation who passed away in the wilderness. Continue in Joshua 5, verse 8. "So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp until they were healed." Now, we're not going to go into specifics on this process, but let's leave it as the men of Israel were not going to be in a position to fight for a couple of days. This process would be painful and make the people extremely vulnerable. All of their fighting men would be laid up, unable to move or defend their people. And the Lord requested this after they moved into the land of the enemy. It could have been done prior to the crossing of the river. They were established a safe camp. They were protected by the waters that couldn't be crossed at that time. If you have any question about what could be done during this time of recovery, let's not look past Genesis chapter 34, after the sons of Jacob spoke deceitfully to Shechem and his father Hamor. Reading from Genesis 34, 20 through 26. "And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the gate of their city and spoke with the men of their city, saying, 'These men are at peace with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade in it. For indeed, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us as wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will the men consent to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised, will not their livestock, their property, and every animal of theirs be ours? Only let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us.' And all who went out by the gate of his city heeded Hamor and Shechem, his son. Every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. Now it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. Two men with swords killed all the males in the city as they were laid up. At this time, the children of Israel were putting their faith in the Lord, trusting in his protection, his provision, his plan. They were extremely vulnerable, unable to defend themselves. But unlike the previous generations who did not have faith, they put their lives in God's merciful hands. They did not rely on the wisdom of man, who would without doubt disagree with this idea, but trusted in the Lord, our God. Continuing in Joshua, then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of this place is called Gilgal to this day." Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on that very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. The promise was being fulfilled. The manna was no longer needed. The land of Canaan provided the people with what they were going to need. The children of Israel had been under discipline. They were not cut off, as the Lord did still sustain them with manna from heaven. He guided their steps. But they had lost a privilege and a blessing. They had lost the sign. In our house, and probably many of your houses as well, one of the possible consequences, in addition to the rod for the child, is the loss of a privilege. Whether they could not participate in games or watching a show, a movie, or the loss of dessert or something similar, the child would be excluded, separated. The children of Israel during this time were being excluded from the sign of the covenant, circumcision. They still belonged to the Lord, just as my disciplined children still belonged to me. But they were under discipline, they were separated. This circumcision that's being performed now was ending this time of exclusion, this time of separation. The Lord deemed it was time to restore his people. They had moved into the promised land, the land of milk and honey, promised to their fathers, this place they were finally at. And God moved them into this place, not with a casual crossing over a bridge or wading through the shallows. No, God used the opportunity of their crossing to show his power, not only to the people of Israel, but to the people around them. Why had the Israelites been in exile for the 40 years? They had lacked faith, all but two men. They had lacked faith in what the Lord could do. The Lord showed who was in charge and who was in control. He parted the river and allowed the people into the land, and then he sat them down in the land of the enemy and made them as helpless as they could be. The people knew this. Yet unlike the previous generation, they were faithful and trusted the Lord. The Lord then has his people circumcised once again, part of the covenant. Now keep the Passover. From Exodus 12, verses 11 through 17. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. And skipping down to verse 24 through 27. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep the service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. The Lord is reestablishing his people. He is doing what was foretold. They were to come into the land, and they were to keep the Passover. First, he miraculously brings them into the land that was promised. Second, he restores the sign of the covenant, having the male circumcised. Now he has them keep the Passover, as was stated in Exodus 12. The children of God has been restored, the land given, the people made fit, Passover kept. It was now time for the taking of the promised land. So what can we take from this and apply to our lives? What can we do? Obey our Lord God. He's in charge. Follow his instructions. We are blessed with his word to teach us. No, we don't have a Moses or a Joshua giving us direct orders from God, but we have the inspired word of God to give us the necessary guidance. Be godly husbands and wives, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Obey the word of God. Follow his commandments. Seek to follow the Lord. And know that the path we might try to choose for ourselves may be very different than the path the Lord chooses for us. His plan is not necessarily our plan, but it is the plan. From Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I doubt the children of Israel, primed for the fight they had been waiting generations for, expected to be taking off time for medical reasons and relying totally and completely on God's protection in the land of the enemy. Remember that when it comes to what is happening in our lives and the world around us. And remember that the Lord is in charge. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we praise you, Lord, for your wisdom. You know all that was and is to be. In the uncertain times of our lives and our world around us, Lord, help us to trust in your will, to have faith in your plan for us. Lord, guide our steps. We thank you for your word, Lord, to give us direction. Let us be open to hear and apply the gifts that you have given to instruct us. Thanks be all to you, Lord. Amen. Amen.